Welcome to the Men's Health Week podcast series. I'm Mark Sainsbury. Men's Health Week is an awareness campaign. We're not after your money, just your attention. And in 2022, it's about small steps. And you've already taken one just by joining us. This series is about the areas us guys are a bit crap at dealing with. But the good news is, by taking small steps, making small changes, we can turn things around. We're not about giving sermons or lectures, but we reckon our guests have something to offer you in the areas that impact on us the most. In this episode, a world record we don't want. We have the planet's highest rate of melanoma. Skin has got us all surrounded, but it's often ignored. So joining me, Dr. Sharad Paul, skin cancer specialist, adjunct professor at the Auckland University of Technology, author and mentor, and an all-round good guy. He knows skin. It's the biggest organ in our body. So what does it actually do?
I think first thing is, skin is our only universal organ, right? If you look at it from a creature, human beings as creatures, they're creatures without hearts, without brains, but everyone's got skin. So another way of looking at it from medicine is, skin is a barometer. So I always say you can't have bad health and good skin.
So skin is crucial.
Yeah, skin is absolutely crucial. And also it's an indicator. It tells us, you know, how well the rest of your system is working.
Do we take it as seriously as we should, do you think?
Probably not till we get a problem. Because, you know, I suppose we take it for granted. Everyone's more worried about their heart, things which get more publicity, I suppose. But sometimes, till summertime comes around, sometimes when you get sunburned, people don't often think about skin.
So what is, like, sunburn? I mean, we take this for granted. What is sunburn?
Yeah, so sunburn is basically, we've been in the sun too long, so the top layer of skin gets damaged. It literally gets burnt, like you're cooking it in a pan. And when it gets burnt, what happens is there's some underlying DNA damage. So the cells get cooked, the genetic material gets cooked. So years down the track, that can lead to skin cancers. Because as we get older, if you remember, our cells constantly keep shedding. And even every day we shed cells. So if you think about dust, a billion tons of dust every day is just shed skin cells.
You look around, I mean, we're all different.
Yes.
We're different shapes, sizes and colours.
Yes.
How does that impact on skin? Because if you have a darker skin, does that mean that you're, you know, less of a worry about the sun?
In conditions like New Zealand, absolutely. So everybody has a risk of getting some kind of skin diseases. But it is true that melanin, which makes us darker, is an antioxidant. So the more melanized your skin is, the more darker you are, the less your risk of skin cancer.
But our skin is still the same, isn't it? I mean, sometimes, I mean, people think, oh, someone's got a different skin colour.
Yeah, it just means that the way of looking at it is melanin has an SPF sun protection factor of 2. So it means that somebody with darker skin's already got some sunblock.
But it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, that's right. Because there's obviously, like in New Zealand, there's also a lot of genetic mix. So I see, you know, a lot of Maori patients who may have married in a family where there's some redheads and things like that. So really those genes, if they were cancer genes, so everything is a mix of genetics and environment. I mean, if we take cancers in general, everything is environment and genetics. And so we may also have mixes.
So if I'm sitting at home and I'm looking at my skin, I think, oh, I've got freckles or I've got moles or I'm, you know, pale skin. Should I be freaking out? I mean, how do you know what's normal and what's a danger?
I think that's why, you know, obviously nowadays there's a lot more information online on people getting skin checks and things like that. But having said that, if somebody had no idea, there's no harm in visiting your doctor because it's really just like taking your car for a warrant of fitness, really, nothing different.
But if I'm going to go to the doctor, do I come and see a specialist like you or one of your colleagues, or do I go to my GP?
GPs are really good base, and in fact, most GPs would be trained to at least look out for things which are suspicious. Some, of course, have more experience than others and are actually very good. And I think that's a good base, but alternatively, if you actually noticed something on your skin and you had a rash, and you could also go directly. But certainly, I think GPs are your best, like they're like your mechanic, I suppose. And so you take your car there and sometimes they may say this needs a different person to do it.
But like your mechanic, does it help to use the same one regularly because they know the car? I mean, am I better off having a regular GP who can perhaps monitor any changes in me?
I think that happens even whether you see a GP or a specialist, but certainly That's true. If you're going back to the same place, they know you, so they know when things have changed with your skin. Sometimes, like when I'm seeing people, we actually are looking at a particular mole or a lesion we think we need to keep an eye on. So we may take a picture and we see it again after some time. We may see a change in it. So, yeah, it does help to have a person you go to regularly.
What do you think is the biggest mistake men in particular make with their skin?
I guess as a general thing in New Zealand, I think firstly, people just don't take care of their skin like most men would. The simplest thing you can do to have good skin is moisturize your skin, right? And most men don't, right? So I think like...
Real men don't moisturize, surely, Sharon.
That's exactly. And I guess the other thing is, I think certainly, like I have men who come for checks. And literally when I say to them, so why are you here? And they're like, I don't know, my wife booked me. So I reckon that most men marry their mothers or they need their mothers. So they're not actually taking responsibility for their own health.
So when we're talking men's health, women and partners play a big role in that.
Absolutely. So it's a well-known thing in medicine, especially as you were saying, if you've been going across specialties and talking on health in general, it's a well-known thing that men who are alone have much worse health outcomes, even later on, like you look at heart disease, various things, men who live by themselves, perhaps because cooking's not so good, they're eating all the wrong food, drinking so much, no one to tell them off, I suppose, all those things.
See, the other worry, and I suppose this is where having someone in your life might help, because you might think, oh, what's on my back? Have I got moles? And you can't, you know, you can't do it by yourself.
Absolutely. That's very true. In fact, often even with women, when they're vidoras, often they'll come and they themselves will say, look, I can feel something in my back, but I don't know what it is. And obviously you can't see it. So it is definitely an issue with skin.
Are women more likely to come and see you than men?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say most men generally, when the younger ones are getting better, but generally, I think in older men, it's usually goaded by their wives or partners.
So give us some examples. What would be the signs of things, you know, that can be dealt with if you do it early enough? What should I be looking out for that means, oh, I must get that checked with my doctor?
I think as a general rule, melanomas typically are flat and dark moles or freckles which are changing, and other skin cancers are sort of pink crusty things which don't heal. So if you look at anything which you think is just a pimple or something but it hasn't healed in a month or so, alternatively, if you've got a dark spot which is getting bigger, fundamentally those are things you look for. The other thing is to know your skin. It's good to do a skin self-exam. You just look at your skin in the mirror so you get an idea for that you have no spots, so that if you get one, you know that's new as well. Because often if you've never checked your skin, then you don't know if anything's changed.
And if you've got really smooth, beautiful skin, does that mean you're okay?
Not necessarily, but it probably means that, like I said, skin indicates your general health. If you've got beautiful skin, it possibly means that you generally got good health, but you still, in New Zealand conditions, you could still get a skin cancer just because of our environment.
In this country, a lot of men work outdoors, especially in the building industry. You look at fishermen out there doing that. That's a real risk factor, is it?
For certain types of skin cancer. So if you look at melanomas that get the most publicity, but they're actually the least common, even though they're the most dangerous. Then you have the squamous cell cancers, and then you have the basal cancers. So what's interesting is melanomas typically arise from intermittent bad sunburns. So if you are on a weekend, you get burnt or burnt in childhood, a blistering burn. So it's more like, you know, binge drinking, that kind of, it's that kind of... Whereas prolonged sun exposure over many years leads more commonly to squamous cell cancer. So those are the ones which are pink and crusty and they go like little horny things. So you have a lot of people who either lost hair or farmers who've been outside a lot. So we certainly see those more commonly in them.
And all those, I mean, if you're on the lookout for those things, I mean, does it accumulate? So by the time you get old, you're paying the price for your behaviour, say, when you were younger. Or are you more disposed the older you get to these things?
A bit of both, but I think certainly, like when we're in the sun, if you have a sunburn, there is a bit of DNA damage goes on. So what happens is skin is constantly being shed. So as we get older, and new skin cells are produced. But as we get older, repair mechanisms are not so efficient. So, of course, some things go wrong. And if you already have some damage, there are more things likely to go wrong. So that's one. And the second thing is, yes, generally... more things go wrong when you're just like an old car, right? Things start falling apart a bit.
And see, again, you come back to cars and you look here. Different
ethnicities,
yes,
we associate with different skin types.
Yes.
But the further down you go, we're all the same, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. So I guess it's just because human beings have been such a recently evolved species. So crazy as it may sound, Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and modern man as we are only came out of Africa 100,000 years ago. So in this 100,000 years, as people migrated, the diets were all different. So when people went to Europe, there was no sun, so the skin lightened. In Africa, of course, the skin darkened, that because they developed to preserve folic acid. And it's just an evolutionary thing. So the darker you are, the more folic acid you have, the lighter you are, the more easier you absorb vitamin D. So each of us evolved into different. And, you know, in Asia, people generally have lower vitamin D because they're darker skinned. So therefore, they're actually shorter in stature. So you can explain a lot of things from skin as well. But I guess underneath, we're absolutely the same. Actually, the weight of melanin, which gives us all our pigment, is only 1.4 grams. So that's how absurd the concept of race is. It's really a myth. It's just that everyone's the same and the skin color's changed. I've actually did a TED talk on once. It's called The Myth of Race. So if anyone's interested, you can go and listen to it.
Well, we'll put a link up for that on our site. So it is a fascinating lecture. What are the tips you would give men listening to this? What are the best tips in terms of looking after, treating, or caring for your skin?
I think the first thing is, if you're looking at caring for your skin, like I said, the key thing is sun protection, moisturizing. So those are two basic, simple things. So, and then if people are more prone to getting eczema and that kind of stuff, then using cleansers which are more closer to your skin's pH, meaning not overusing soaps. So, for example, you know, we think when we clean with soap, because soap is alkaline. So there are many soaps now which are more pH neutral because the skin's pH is more like 5.5. So we do get them in the supermarkets and things. So it's just being aware of these things. But I think fundamentally what I would say is in New Zealand, people don't use enough sun protection still and they don't moisturize enough. If you're looking at sun protection, also things are not used correctly. So people don't realize that for an adult body, you need about a shot glass of sunscreen each time.
Interesting about the soap, though, because during COVID, we saw soap make this big comeback. This was the big miracle thing.
Absolutely. I think soap is good to wash off, you know, bacteria and viruses and all the sort of stuff. But it's just because it breaks down these particles. And in fact, funnily enough, people who are more prone to eczema on the hands and things, I've seen a lot more of them in the year and in the past year. And it's a reality of the current times.
You talked about the importance of moisturising. How often should we moisturise?
I think generally water washes off the natural oils of the skin. So generally the best time to do it is after your shower.
And you should do it every day?
Ideally, yes.
When people, as you said, you know, people come in to see you, and women are more proactive in terms of coming in.
Very much so, yeah.
But you must have seen cases where people put it off. I mean, that must distress you if you'd come to me earlier.
Yes, I think unfortunately that's not uncommon. Sometimes you see people would have left it for so long that you think, how could you? But that's typically, unfortunately, in men as well. Like sometimes we see frighteningly large skin cancers, like in areas like the lip or eye, which is so obvious. You think, how could you be walking around with it? That surely someone else would have said, you can't just let that grow. But it does happen.
But you and your colleague, and we shouldn't be frightened of this. I mean, if you address issues to do with your skin, there is quite often, there's a lot of hope, isn't there?
In fact, most of the time, everything is curable. Like, it's very rare. Like, if you think about it, the melanoma rate, which is the worst skin cancer, is about 50 to 80 for 100,000 people. So in New Zealand, there are a lot of other things that are much more common than that. Of course, the other skin cancers are more common, and most are, even melanomas when picked early, are almost 100% curable. The same reason, I mean, I just think we're just going back partly to the car analogy because it's men's week and interest in cars. But the reality is, it's just like you would get your car checked before a long trip or something because you don't want it to break down. And I think it's the same kind of thing with the body systems. It's like we just need to be getting ourselves serviced. It's a bit of lube and service.
So in terms of getting that service, the first port of call for anyone listening is go and see your GP.
That's it.
And don't put it off.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. And remember, those small steps could save your life. You just need to take the first one. And thanks also to our friends at the Master Builders. Without their generous and constant support, Men's Health Week wouldn't be possible.